If you enjoy The Spectator's podcast, why not subscribe to the magazine as well? You can get 12 weeks of The Spectator for just £12, plus a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher if you go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. This is a podcast-only deal, and we hope you take us up on it.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Oscar Edmondson, and I'm joined today by Katie Balls and James Heal. So it's another suspension for Rishi Sunak. The Conservative MP Mark Menzies has been suspended after alleged misuse of campaign funds. James, can you take us through it?
Yes, so this is in response to a rather extraordinary story on the front of the Times today. They report that back in December, Mark Menzies, a Tory backbencher but also a trade envoy to South American countries, was called up at around 3 o'clock in the morning. One of his aides in the constituency office, a 78-year-old campaigner, and basically demanded a sizable sum, about £6,000, to give to some bad people who were holding him captive there. The sum was then paid, but it then relates to the wider issue about kind of the money that he's been using from local party funds and what that money has been going towards. And so as a result of that, he's now lost the whip, and there's an investigation being launched by the Conservative Party into what exactly went on here. Mark Menzies denies all the allegations and sort of has rebutted the criticism quite strongly, but it has led to a row today. And so just before lunchtime, Annalise Dodds, the Labour Party chair, fired off a letter to her Tory counterpart, Richard Holden, and said, you know, this happened in December. Apparently you were made aware of it. The woman involved claims to have gone to Simon Hart in January. It's now been 5 months. What's on earth's happened to this? And this is, you know, alleged misuse of campaign funds, potential criminality. What were the proper safeguards gone in place here? So I think it's raised an issue about kind of local funds in terms of how, like, local businessmen, etc., fund a different party. Obviously, it's another day when the Conservatives are on the back foot, having led on things like, you know, Angela Rayner for the past week, had a relatively good week. And it means, of course, that you get Conservative ministers, for instance, like Grant Shapps on the morning round today, having to talk about this and the issues of Tory party sleaze, etc., rather than things they want to be talking about. And in terms of where it goes next, obviously, if you look at it'll be whether the Parliamentary Commission for Standards gets involved. But those investigations normally take about best part of a year. The Chris Pincher one, for instance, which seems perhaps a little less complicated than this, that was 8 months. So given where we are on the parliamentary calendar in April 2024, and elections due by January 2025, it seems unlikely, unless Mark Menzies decides to quit as a result of this, we're going to get a by-election going through the kind of process of the Independent Commission of Standards and the recall process. So that's where we are right now. He's lost the whip, and the Tory working majority, I think, is down to 43 now.
Casey, what's your take? Will this have put a bit of a dampener on what otherwise, as James says, was a relatively good week for Rishi Sunak?
I think a relatively good week news says just it's not an awful week. So yes, I think it does. And I think probably in number 10, there's a bit of a here we go again, another problem within the party. And yes, they have managed to quite successfully made an attack line on Angela Rayner. And that story is becoming more complicated with reports of different avenues of investigation. You know, there's some suggestions it could be more than one property they're looking into, could lead to HMRC and so forth. But I think there's a frustration in government that, well, I think it's twofold. I think there's a frustration that the Angela Rayner story is not being picked up by the broadcasters in the way that they would hope it would be. It's largely still a print story. The police investigation was, of course, covered by the BBC. You know, generally those developments are not. But then I think you add to that stories like this, which is now top of the BBC. And this is not me saying the story should not be, but, you know, it's a combination of not being able to get their Labour attack story where they want, and then also the party creating its own problems to the point there's very easy bad news Tory story to cover, as opposed to the bad news Labour story they're trying to get going. So I think in terms of the politics of how people in the Tory party are feeling, that pretty much sums it up. Now, this is a fairly safe Tory seat. And I think one of the things when it comes to candidate selection is there is a feeling that there can be an incumbency benefit. And that's definitely one of the messages MPs have got from CCHQ, from the election strategy team, which is in a tighter election, where you're not being swept in on a tide of Jeremy Corbyn, get Brexit done and Boris, much more like 2015 probably, being a good MP could be what keeps your seat as to what lose it when it comes down, you know, just a small number of votes and much more local factors. So I think anything that means you're having to change candidates, which, you know, this is a seat where I think at the moment it's about 20,000 majority, it was more like 15,000 in election before. Therefore, on the current polling though, that should be okay just. But I think changing candidates again is clearly something they would, you know, it's not an ideal situation, but it is in the situation they're now probably in.
And Katie, you've written a very interesting column in the Times today about how Sunak plans to tackle smartphones, something that our editor will be very pleased to hear.
Yeah, so I think you can look at this in two ways. One is Rishi Sunak has found another thing to ban straight from the smoking vote, which clearly divided the party. And we never really, I think, chewed too much into the result of that smoking vote, largely because I think I hope listeners would agree, but I think our pre-analysis actually matched what happened, which was Kemi Badenoch was the only cabinet minister to vote against a very small number of ministerial rebellions, but still a large number of abstentions and 55 or so MPs actually voting against. And it is a divisive issue for the Tory party. So from that, Rishi Sunak moves to considering another ban or restrictions of some sort. And as you say, this is on smartphones and social media. And of course, the two merge. Now, I think there have been rumblings of this for a while. So just before Christmas, there was a report, I think it was Bloomberg who had it first, saying Rishi Sunak is considering banning smartphones for teenagers. Then it went rather quiet. I think it's been picking up for the past couple of weeks or so. And I think largely led by Will Tanner, one of his senior policy aides, also Oliver Dowden, Rishi Sunak's deputy, is very passionate on the topic. I think there's now a lot of talk about what can be done to try and help teens when it comes to the mental health problems that they think are linked to exposure to social media and smartphones early on. Now, the very idea of a link is still debatable, but one of the things I say in the piece is Jonathan Haidt's book, which is about this epidemic in mental health, where he argues the introduction of the smartphone, and particularly for young girls, the smartphone when there started to be a camera that would take selfies, and then they could all start compare. That's when we started to see this mental health epidemic. Yeah. And I think that while some disagree or think the evidence is at least subjective, it definitely is an argument that holds merit in Number 10 in government. And I think that on the mental health side, you have more have Oliver Dowden, Will Tanner, who view that link. I think Rishi Sunak comes from a slightly different place, which is much more, it's worrying that parents don't feel as though they know what their children are doing on their phones. We've obviously had some famous cases recently in the news, but it's worrying that, you know, they have all these friends that you've never met because they exist only online. So what can you do to empower the parent? And I think it is a really chewy thing to actually work out legislation on. In America, you've had some blackout social media bans for under 16s. But how would you do that here? And also, what are the practicalities of banning smartphones? I mean, one person I spoke to said, well, it's quite simple, just as though, you know, a 14-year-old can't buy a cigarette or booze, and some will never be able to buy tobaccos or cigarettes when the smoking bill goes through. You could have an ID system, but on smartphones, those who are spending hundreds of pounds on a smartphone, it's not really the kids' own money, it's the parent getting them. So even though polling suggests parents are worried about it, I think there's a sense of peer pressure. You don't want your child to be the only one who doesn't have it. So I think where they're now leaning towards is trying to start, as I put it, a national conversation, which is a consultation. But this isn't just a consultation, most likely with mental health charities, general charities, teachers, lots and lots of parents, and then also potentially children. And I think, you know, are they doing it the good of the heart, or is it a vote winner? I think it's probably a bit of both, which is, if you're a parent, it's something you're naturally concerned about, but also polling wise, it's an issue lots of people care about. I think the question is, what can you actually do in the time? And then I think probably the risk of Rishi Sunak is, if you don't have much of a general agenda next to it, you do just think, has he just got to the point where as much as just ban lots of things? But on this one, I do think, you know, as you mentioned, Fraser, I think lots of parents do think the government can do more, and it probably is less divisive for the Tory party than, say, the smoking ban, because you have people like Miriam Cates, very much on the right of the party. She, for example, I understand, has just in the past 24 hours launched her own kind of MP group for those who are interested in the topic, who are in support of it. And you also have those on the left who are in support of it. So I think you have a bit more of a Tory coalition for this across different groups than you do perhaps traditional obesity smoking debates.
And James, with all these various bills on banning things, do you think this is where Rishi Sunak wants to build his legacy?
Bans are a easy way of not spending any money and trying to signal support to the public. I think what Katie's saying is interesting. I think it's, often we look at that 2019 electoral coalition and the MPs got elected. You know, the fact that one 2019 MP defected to Labour and one defected to Reform perhaps says something about the breadth of it. What are the kind of issues that can unite the party on? And given the fiscal constraints right now, what are they able to, you know, cost not much money and do something that's relatively popular? This is one thing, and I think there's actually a much more reasonable ideological consistency to it in that, unlike, say, the smoking ban, which introduces different rights for those born after 2009 as there are before it, this is just a flat-out ban for, you know, for those under a certain age. So I think there's a sort of more reasonable consistency. I've only spoken to a couple of MPs about it, not as many as Katie, obviously, but, you know, it seems they're fairly relaxed about this in a way in which doesn't really sort of vex, you know, certain issues tend to vex Tory passions of one kind or another. This doesn't seem to be particularly one of them. So given that the Prime Minister is very conscious about things like the long-term out-of-work benefits, the mental health issues facing this country, he likes to say, for instance, I think we're now getting, you know, three times as many people, young people, signed off sick as we had 10 years ago. This would seem an obvious kind of step to look at.
Less relaxed, though, tech companies.
And on that note, thank you very much, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.